non-Israelite man, Sargon, came to be the most powerful nation in the world. Our God is faithful. So, kind of everything in chapter 3, though, I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and kind of set the stage for what we're going to be talking about this morning. We've been talking a lot about fire and furniture and things like that. We're interested to know from the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from Daniel chapter 3, the story after being thrown into a fiery furnace. We're going to see what it is that caused them to find themselves in that kind of situation. Why they refused to go was the king commanded that they do. And to understand that, go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3, look at Deuteronomy, where Moses, the husband to the children of Israel, as they are preparing to go into the land of promise, rehearsing for them their history, and telling them again, Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, it is Moses saying to them, this is what God has done for you, these are the blessings that God will give to you if you remain faithful to Him, these are the curses that God will bring against you if you are unfaithful. This is what God expects of you. What He told you at Sinai is what He expects from you as you go into this land. And so, in verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses was given them the instruction. Again, this instruction was specifically about idolatry, about how God does not let them serve the gods of the land that they have come out of. He says, be careful. Don't fall my form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb. I was a mess in the fire. Horeb is Sinai. And so you need to remember that was Sinai. When the Lord appeared to you, He didn't appear in some kind of a form of an animal, or a sun and moon and stars, or anything that we are familiar with. But God said, God did not appear to you in any kind of form. Because you need to remember that. You need to take heed to that. You need to learn something from that. Because in verse 16, what you ask for us is, and not for yourself to find them, if you're in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that floats on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. That you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the rest of it, you say, brethren, to worship them and serve them. For the Lord your God is given to all the peoples under the whole heaven and the earth. But the Lord is taking you, listen to verse 24. The Lord has taken you and brought you out of an iron furnace out of Egypt. The humble folks in the inheritance. And not here for us to call them in, but upon the infant, which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. Very careful. The Lord your God is a consuming fire. A destroying God. And so it talks about fire here. Sometimes it says, what it says on it, the Lord was brought out of this iron furnace, the furnace, the fiery burning that was in Egypt. The captivity, the furnace, 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 that God is a jealous God. The God that brought you out of Egypt, that took you out of that furnace, and brought you into the verge of the promised land, the land who was going to give you that land of the forms with milk and honey. You need to understand that He was a jealous God. That's not thinking against God at all. A husband to his wife is jealous in the bread. And wants that wife to be self-restored to him only. God has taken Israel, son of Israel, God has married Israel. Israel is his bride. And as Israel is husband, he says that God is a jealous God. And the importance of that to them is a kind of a continuing fire. If you God to act out in jealousy against you, understand that you will be burned. They need to be sure that they do not offend God and God's jealousy by going into the land and worshiping the gods of this land. By bowing down before some image, because God doesn't have it, it's meant to bow down before an image, but to bow down and worship before something that is not Jehovah God. And God will not follow it. That's 700 years older than Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah is speaking to the children of Israel, both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, at a time when both of those nations, and especially the northern kingdom of Israel, are practicing wickedness, and part of that wickedness that they are practicing is idolatry. Verse 17 of Isaiah chapter 42 says, "They shall be turned back, and they shall be greatly ashamed, and trust in carved images." And say to the carved images, "You are God." See, 700 years have been changed. The same jealousy of God that can be provoked back from the children of Israel were even into the land, but the same jealous God that can be provoked 700 years later, and the same most of that 700 years has been provoked by the Jews because they cannot keep themselves away from the greatness of this body. They cannot keep themselves away from the idolatry that surrounds them. And so, in verse 23, I say, I see a man who will listen to this. Who's going to listen to this? Who will listen and hear for the time to come? Who's going to pay attention to the fact that God has given this decree that He will provoke His anger. He will burn you up if you practice idolatry. Who is willing to listen to that? He says in verse 24, He goes back to plunder. Israel to the wrong. Recognize the Lord, He has shown them the sin, so they will not walk in His ways, nor will they obedience to His God. Because if Israel has such ignored God, the sacrifice that God has given them from stern warning, they just totally ignored Him. And so He's a prophet, they said, they have already begun to pay that price. The fact that they're wrong for both kingdoms would be significant. The fact that just would not give up these idolatrous practices. They refuse to not bow down and worship before others. So he says in verse 25, this is speaking not only the things that God has done, but especially the things that God is about to do. And then some 200 or so years later, he speaks of seven kings. He says, "Therefore, He has poured on him the unending grace of Christ." Therefore, He has poured on him the healing of His anger and the strength of God. And this is and the platform on fire all the time. The thing is not the
Treasurers, the judges, magistrates, all the officials.
promises of the salvation to come to the resurrection of the living between this and that world. So all of these people come and come before this image, and then go through the hell's fire of wrath. The new is commanded as we can make it. And the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery, and such men with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And so, we're all going to come to an altar. We're all going to assemble on this plain in front of this image, on the surrounding the image. And the band's going to start playing. And when the band starts playing, everybody bow down, and everybody start worshiping this image. Over and over and over, remember Isaiah 44, I think I mentioned it here a couple of weeks ago. Isaiah 60, of the fire was from Isaiah 3 and 9. Christian is what is called tender. This is a very, you need to know, this is what they look like. And it's not kind of like, brother and sister, there's not room then for that. My brother and sister, they just been studying and growing. So here we go. As a team, you need to know that green children are not as old as you. And what Martin Comanche says not to do is say, well, that's okay. You know, all these other fat crabs and governors and all of that, 3 out of 93 money, that's not too bad. And see if you do it. Somebody has been to play with me. And he knows the like you Thank you. Because I can't figure out a way, God can figure out a way. Because I don't understand, God doesn't figure it out. Christ, that is impossible. And so there is the Christ. And notice that the Christ doesn't say this, that God will deliver us from the furnace, it says God can, God will save us. And it's a good thing. Because there is no way to save us. They didn't say, no, that God could save them from the furnace, but they didn't know if that was in God's plan to save us. And so their response in what you might share that you have over us right now, understand when this is all over with, you will know that you have no life hope that God is with you. Do you think so? One of the passages in Philippians. God is to keep us, nothing that can separate us from the love of God. When we are faithful to Him, there is no persecution, no trial, no suffering, no pain, nothing that can separate us. It is powerful enough to separate us from the love of God and from the love of Jesus Christ. That's God's promise. celebrate God's things with her. He says, my brother, I'm kind of all joy. And he's all very calm. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. Whatever it is you go through,